What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The lights are out.
Hurry, get to the lights, go out.
The game is over, and we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7, The Game.
And the Toronto Raptors will win for the second time with trailing after three, and the Warriors with a disaster of a loss on the road. And now we'll have to beat a very good Minnesota team to try to split the four-game win-chill road trip. Raptors 104, Warriors 101. Golden State falls to below 500, 19-20 on the season. And get ready for Minnesota.
That's the first time all year the Warriors have been below 500. As you just heard Tim Roy say, the Warriors now 19-20. And I think considering that, and considering who the opponent was, we got a new contender for low point of the year for the Golden State Warriors. This is rock bottom. I'm not sure that there's going to be a worse night in this Warrior year than this one. Toronto coming into this basketball game, 8-31. They had lost 16 of their last 17 games. And they overcome a 9-point deficit in the fourth quarter, and they beat the Warriors. Warriors now 19-20, again, below 500 for the first time this season. They began the year 12-3, which means since then, over the Warriors' last 24 games, they're 7-17. 7-17 is how the Warriors got to 19-20. They got there tonight with a 104-101 loss against the previously 8-win Toronto Raptors. Not many teams worse than the Raptors so far this year, but tonight, that Raptors team, better than the Warriors. Welcome into Warriors Wrap-Up here on 95.7 The Game. It's Mark Randy with you. That was a rough run, and we're going to talk through it here all night on 95.7 The Game. You can give me a call, shoot me a text, and join the conversation, 888-957-9570. Again, the final, the Raptors 104, the Warriors 101. I mean, it was rough. It looked like it was going to be all right. It still, I don't think, was a particularly inspiring performance from the Warriors, who got Stephen Curry and Andrew Wiggins back tonight. No Draymond Green because he was dealing with an illness. Also, his low back still kind of bothering him, but it was the illness that kept him out of this game. But you have Steph, you have Wiggins. This should be a game that you should be able to win. Now, I will say, the Raptors, I think they're better than their 8-31 record suggests. They've been dealing with a lot of injuries to a number of their key players. You look at who they had there today, was essentially their entire roster, other than Emmanuel Quickley. But you got Scottie Barnes, who's a perennial all-star. You got some talent on that roster. In addition to Scottie Barnes, you've got RJ Barrett. You got Davion Mitchell, who they acquired from the Kings. You got Grady Dick. You've got Chris Boucher, who came in off the bench and scored 17 of his 18 points in the fourth quarter. He's reason number one why the Raptors were able to win this game in the fourth. But still, even if they are better than an 8-31 team, now a 9-31 team, this is still a basketball game the Warriors absolutely have no excuse to lose. And you can't make any excuse for this basketball team. It's another offensive disaster class all game long. The Warriors shoot sub 40% from the field, 39.8%. 35% from deep, not terrible there, but everything inside the arc and outside the arc isn't easy either, but everything inside the arc is like pulling teeth with this team. They cannot finish around the rim. They do not take advantage of the free throw line often. They did decently tonight, 15 for 22 from the line, but it is just terrible mistake after terrible mistake. And it's not just missing layups and blowing open jumpers, but it's just decisions on a possession-by-possession basis that confound you. There's Buddy Hield cutting back door, and he has a wide-open lane for a layup. And legitimately wide open, and he just stops in his tracks the second that TJD makes the backdoor bounce pass, as TJD should. But Buddy Hield, for some reason, I'm not in his head. I got no clue what the hell he's thinking. A wide open lane on the backdoor cut, and he began to cut backdoor and then just stops. Maybe he was thinking, you know, the V cut that they teach you in third grade when you're playing CYO. You know, fake the cut in and then cut back out. Well, buddy, if the back door cuts wide open, you got a layup. Keep running. There was Kyle Anderson at the end of the third quarter. I don't know what the hell the Warriors are thinking here. Kyle Anderson must think the Warriors have a foul to give, and he just purposely fouls Scotty Barnes with 5 seconds left in the quarter, and he gives Scotty Barnes 2 free throws. Now, luckily for the Warriors, Scotty Barnes missed a free throw, but then what happened on the missed free throw? The Warriors allowed Chris Boucher to get the offensive rebound. It's just bad mistake after bad mistake after bad mistake for this Warrior team. And unfortunately for the Warriors, a lot of these mistakes are being made by players that have been in the league for like upwards of 5 or 6 years. And it's happening every single night on so many possessions. And it's getting to a point where it's hard to imagine this roster putting any kind of run together. Again, they were 12-3. 12-3, that feels like that was 4 years ago at this point. Since then, the Warriors are 7-17, and tonight they've reached a new low, falling to the Toronto Raptors, just Toronto's 9th win of the season, and just Toronto's 2nd win in their last 18 games. Hard to explain this one away. And I can't wait to hear from Steve Kerr. We're going to do that coming up in a little bit here on Warriors Wrap-Up, because I'm sure he was frustrated as well. This has been a season full of bad losses and ones where you wish you could have it back. But tonight, I think, takes the cake for me, because everything that has gone wrong for you of late, you have still, for the most part, managed to beat the bottom feeders. And that's been the way you've kind of stayed afloat of late. You've beaten the bad teams. You've taken care of business. Not tonight. Not tonight. The Toronto Raptors, again, I think they're better than their record suggests. They're now 9-31. But this is a team, even on the road, even without Draymond, even without Kuminga, even without Gary Payton, and even without Brandon Pajemski, you should be able to win this basketball game. The Warriors led 86-77 with 9:25 to go in the fourth quarter. The Warriors put together a nice little run. Curry hit a floater. Lindy Waters hit a couple of clutch threes, and those were his only 2 made field goals of the whole game. That was a quick run to push the Warriors' lead to 9. 86-77 with 9:25 left in the fourth quarter. Toronto immediately responds with an 8-0 run. Then it was a 14-4 run. Ultimately, they closed on a 27-15 run over the final 9:25, and they win this basketball game. And most of that run was just Chris Boucher running roughshod over the Warriors in that fourth quarter. Chris Boucher is a really unique player, and he's been in Toronto for a really long time. In fact, Boucher is the only remaining Raptor who was on the title-winning team in 2019 when Kawhi and Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam beat the Warriors in those finals. So he's been there for a while, and he's kind of bounced in and out of the rotation throughout his career. Only scored a single point in the final few seconds of the third quarter when he split a free throw, and then scored 17 points in the fourth quarter, and the Warriors had no answer for him. Now, a couple of those were just deep threes, and you tip your cap to a guy making a nice shot with a good contest, but getting to the rim, scoring around TJD, scoring around Looney, and the Warriors made no adjustment to slow him down. Absolutely nothing changed, and as a result, Chris Boucher kept dominating the Warriors down the stretch, and he wills the Raptors to just their ninth win of the season at 104-101, but another fourth quarter blown lead for the Warriors. They're now 11-13 in clutch games this year. That's the season right there. That is the season. If you're just a little bit better in clutch games, you're looking at being like five games over 500 instead of a game under. That is the season right there, and how jumbled the West is, that would make the difference between, guess what, being out of the postseason picture entirely. Not just the top six seeds who get a guaranteed playoff series, but being out of the play-in. If the season were to end today on January 13th, the Warriors would not be a postseason team. They would not even be a play-in team. They are currently the 11th seed in the Western Conference, technically tied with San Antonio, but just percentage points ahead of them for the 11th. San Antonio is the 12th. The Warriors are a below-average basketball team, and given what is currently on their roster, it is hard to fathom that there is a major run coming for this basketball team. They just lost to the Toronto Raptors, who had lost 16 of their last 17 games. There's no more excuses to make for this team. They're just simply put, as currently constructed, not a good basketball team. We got plenty of time for your calls and texts. Give me a call. Shoot me a text. 888-957-9570. Let's go out to the phone lines here as we're just getting warmed up here on Warriors Wrap Up. Ben is standing by in Santa Rosa. What's up, Ben? Shout out to the 707. How you doing?
Hey, doing well. How are you today?
Trying to make sense of that loss, Ben. It was a rough one.
Yeah, so I was talking on the phone today. It was a business call, but we went off topic, and he lives in Texas, a Cowboys fan, and we're talking about the Cowboys and how bad they've been since Jimmy Johnson left and such. And he says, yeah, but you know what? He goes to some of the games, and every game that place is packed, and Jerry Jones is making tons of money. And I kind of feel, a similarity here. Like, it's not that the Warriors don't care about winning, but as long as they keep filling that place because of Stephen Curry, I don't, maybe the pain isn't quite there like it should be for the owners and the management. I don't see any outs here. I really don't. I think I'm in the significant minority when I say that. What I would like to see is him trade Curry and trade Draymond, get some young talent in, get a bunch of picks, build around Kuminga, and let's start building for the future. I'd rather watch that than this. And that's basically all I have to say. So thanks.
Yeah, interesting. Appreciate the call, Ben. Thanks for tuning in. You can join the conversation, 888-957-9570. Ben, based on the unofficial polling that we do here at 95.7 The Game and listening to all you guys who call in and who chime in on the text line and who, respond to us on Twitter and all of that, first of all, appreciate every single one of you. I think you are right, Ben. You are in the relative vast minority. Your opinion is not close to the most popular opinion. I think the most popular opinion is you got to make a move to help Steph out. But at a certain point, you got to question whether there is even a single move or a grouping of moves over the next 3 weeks or over the next year and a half that makes this roster championship contender worthy. And if you view that there isn't that grouping of moves possible to you, then you have to consider the alternative option. Now, Ben, I will say there is another member of the 707 chiming in here on the Comcast Business text line. Steph doesn't deserve this. Lakeup has to do what's right by Steph instead of holding him hostage for his bottom line. If we are to take everything that Joe Lacob has said at face value, he desperately cares about winning. All he wants to do is win. And I believe him. No doubt, I believe him. And I think you could tell by just watching him at Chase Center. If you have the opportunity to go to a game and you're sitting in view of Joe Lacob, he sits on the side of the court opposite of the team's benches and opposite of the scorer's table. So if you're on the side of Chase Center where if you're on the bench side of Chase Center where the team sit, if you're on that half of the arena, you have a view of Joe Lacob the entire game. And just watch how he reacts to plays, to moments. Watch how he leaves the court after a rough loss. Watch how he celebrates after a big shot or after a big win. I think he does desperately care about winning. But there's so much more that's involved in this conversation than just winning and losing, because you're dealing with not just a superstar, but you're dealing with a franchise icon, and not just a franchise icon, but the franchise icon, right? Like, no matter how much longer the Warriors franchise exists, no one will ever become what Steph Curry has become. Like, there's no doubt in my mind Steph Curry will forever be the greatest Warrior in franchise history, and he is a top 10 basketball player ever. Like, so this is so much more complex than just, you know, if you care about winning, then you got to do what's best for the team. And maybe what's best for the team is beginning to rebuild ASAP and maybe being competitive again in 3 years versus staring down the barrel of trying to make a move, bring someone in to help Steph. And you hope that it works out, but in the back of your mind, you feel like it's probably not going to work out. And then as a result of making that move, and if it doesn't work out, you've hurt yourself 3 years from now, and you don't have as much ability to be competitive at that point. It's so much more complex than that, because as our caller was pointing out, as the 707 is pointing out, this is also a business. And Joe Lacob, as much as he likes winning, I'm sure he also likes making money, and he has pressure from, you know, everyone else on the board to make money for the organization and for everybody invested in the organization. But you're also dealing with the incredible emotional question of the final few years of Steph Curry's career. And that's not an easy thing to decide on. I don't envy the decision makers in the Warriors front office right now, because I cannot imagine looking at either trying to help Stephen Curry, but potentially damaging the future of the organization, or potentially shipping off a franchise icon in the name of maybe hopefully hitting on some draft picks and maybe lessening the time between titles, right? Like, it seems like a lose-lose, because I'm not so sure there. I mean, there isn't a home run move. I said that countless times. If there was a home run move, then it would have been made already. The Warriors have a lot of not great options, and in fact, most of their options aren't even not great. They're just plain bad. They're just plain bad. What I will say is if the Warriors wait until close to the trade deadline to make a move, it's too late. If you're going to make a move, you should do it now. And I mean a move in terms of like a buying move, a move that would help Steph Curry and make this team, current day, better. Do it now. Do it now, because if you wait another 2 or 3 weeks, this team might be far enough out of the race of everything that it won't matter. Patience right now is going to make the Warriors' decision themselves, because you rack up another 10 losses in your next 13 games, you're going to be staring at being nearly 10 games under 500. And by the time the trade deadline comes around, it might be far too late. It really might be far too late. And tonight was a prime example of that. I know you're not at full strength, but that's what happens when you are a veteran team. The Warriors are a veteran team. They might not be at full strength again this year. It's the nature of this basketball team. It's the nature of relying on guys that have as many miles, you know, on their legs, on their bodies, as this team does. Warriors lose tonight in Toronto, 104-101. The Warriors are now, in their last 24 games, 7-17. They're 19-20 on the year. They have dipped below 500 for the first time this season. 888-957-9570. Let's get back out to the phone lines. Jimmy in Bayview is on hold. What's up, Jimmy? You're on Warriors Wrap-Up. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Man, it's tough to watch. The Warriors, I think, made this commitment to Curry, you know, when they signed Kerr for those extra 2 years, and right now it's not looking good. The team, the triangle offense, and this team, they look lost out there. They don't look like they know what we want to do. And I mean, this is a time, I love Steve Kerr. I watched him in Chicago. I was there. Love the guy to death, but His message is not getting through. And, you know, there's got to be a plan B to this because the players don't look like they know what they want to do either. And it's so hard, but if everything was as it should be, I think, you know, Curry should be fired. If he didn't have rings and Steph Curry wasn't Steph Curry, Curry should be fired. Sorry. All right. What do you think? Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Jimmy. Well, that's such a hard proposition to even think about. I mean, if Steve Kerr wasn't Steve Kerr, then would he be fired? I mean, the reality is he's won four titles with the Warriors, and that gains you a lot of leeway. And I mean, the Warriors just won a championship in 2022. We're talking about less than 3 years ago. Not saying that the last 2.5 years haven't been frustrating as hell. They certainly have been, and it feels like this year might be more frustrating than any of the past years. But that's a really, really difficult question to answer. If Steve Kerr didn't win four championships, he might not still be the head coach of this organization. Because if he didn't win four championships, you know, would he even have been around for 2017, 2018, 2019 when they went to the finals? Like, I don't know. It's a difficult question to answer. What I will tell you is, as long as Steph Curry is on this roster, Steve Kerr will be the head coach, and Draymond Green will also be on the roster. It feels like those three are a package deal, and unless something very drastic changes, that is the reality. And something drastic that could change is Stephen Curry asking the Warriors for a trade. This is not that far out of the question. And the 510 is chiming in on the Comcast Business text line. Appreciate the interaction as always. 888-957-9570. I said this as early as last summer, when the Warriors offseason was not going as hoped for. What might be best for the Warriors organization, if we can all agree that it seems like a championship with this current crop of players is unlikely, and I get the emotional tie we have to this team. I mean, growing up in the Bay Area as a Warrior fan, the 2015 championship, one of the happiest moments of my life. No lie. I remember sitting on the couch with my dad, watching them win in 2015, literally crying, hugging my dad, watching that win. This team, this organization, these players, and that head coach, and that front office, and that, you know, owner has brought me some of the happiest moments of my life. And I'm sure there's so many of you Warrior fans out there who feel the same. And I know it's impossible to do, but if we can just forget about the emotional baggage of this all for a second, and we just look at this purely objectively, what might be the quickest way for the Warriors to become legitimate contenders again? And by legitimate contenders again, I don't mean like being the sixth seed or being the eighth seed and getting through the play-in and then taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round. Like, I mean legit being a top four seed in the Western Conference and legitimately having a great shot to run through the Western Conference and go to the finals again. This might just be my opinion, but I think there's a lot who would agree with me if you were to get a real honest answer from them. It seems unlikely that is coming with this current roster. So if you feel that way and your only goal is to minimize the amount of time between championships, if that is your goal, which I don't like hate you if that's not your goal. If your goal is to ride it out into the sunset with the heroes of the organization and to have memories and to take your young kids and to explain what Steph Curry meant to you because you watched him win in 15 and in 17 and in 18 and 22, and maybe they were too young to realize, you know, what they were watching at the time, and you want to teach them a little lesson of the greatness of Steph Curry and Draymond Green and even Klay Thompson and Steve Kerr. Like, I fully get that. But if our goal is to solely minimize the amount of time between championships, I don't know how you can look me in the eye and tell me that the quickest way to do that or the most likely way to do that is by trading away your valuable assets and hoping you hit big in the draft. And then 3 years from now, you could be a team that is on the up and up, and you could be a team that's competing again, and you could have another era. Now, that's a big if, because you got to hit on draft picks, or you got to get really lucky like Oklahoma City did. when they acquired Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and a boatload of first-round picks from Oklahoma City. Not only have they hit on their first or from the Clippers in exchange for Paul George from Oklahoma City, not only have they hit on all their, not all, but a lot of their first-round picks that they acquired from the Clippers, but they also got maybe the MVP of the league in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who at that point was a young, interesting player with the Clippers. Like, that is the blueprint. Not everyone can pull it off like Oklahoma City did. That was a really unique situation, and Steph Curry is not getting the haul in return that Oklahoma City got from the Clippers for Paul George. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One is the age of Steph. The other is that the Clippers were essentially doing that because they knew that the only way to get Kawhi was to also get Paul George. So they were thinking of that entire boatload of picks and players was for both those two. Oklahoma City was just the beneficiary. I'm just, if you truly believe that this group, their championship window is done, and watching this team this year, I don't know how you can't feel that way, and you say your only goal is to win championships, then that feels like a pretty straightforward, logical jump to make. But your goal might not be to only win championships. And I get that, and that is totally fair, but that's what we're talking through right now because the Warriors fell in Toronto tonight, 104-101, and this is rock bottom for this Warriors team. Absolute rock bottom. You lost to a team that entering tonight was 8-31. 8-31. The 626 chiming in on the Comcast Business text on it. You can join the conversation, shoot me a text, give me a call, 888-957-9570. The 626 writes, "The Warriors were checking this off as an automatic win and instead a pathetic loss. Shaking my head." Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we could go through this Warriors season and we could just go through it game by game. Frustrating losses and which one takes the cake. There was a couple of losses early in the year to the Clippers. I don't think those are on this list. The one in San Antonio, which basically began this bad streak for the Warriors. That was after the 12-3 start. Since then, the Warriors are 7-17. This loss in San Antonio began that 7-17 stretch they're currently on. You led by like 17 late in the third quarter. You ultimately lose that game by 10. The next game, you lead big in the second half against the Brooklyn Nets. You lose that game by 8. That was a rough one. Denver. A week later, December 3rd in Denver, you had like an 8-point lead, I believe, in the final 4 minutes. You lose that game by 4 points. Let's see, what else stands out? In Houston, in that NBA Emirates NBA Cup game, where if you won, you advance to the semifinals in Vegas, you lose that game by 1. The Warriors were horrendous offensively down the stretch in that basketball game. Other rough, frustrating ones. Christmas Day against the Lakers. Steph goes off for 38. No one else can do anything offensively. You lose that game by 2. More recently, these other ones aren't like the losses where you had it down the stretch and you blew it. But if we're talking embarrassing losses, 30 points at home to the De'Aaron Foxless Sacramento Kings, 16 points at home to the Jimmy Butlerless Miami Heat, who were coming off of a double overtime loss in Sacramento the night before while you were resting on your couch. Like, there is legitimately a top 10 that we can make for embarrassing Warriors losses this year, and I would argue tonight takes the cake. The 8-31, now the 9-31 Toronto Raptors erased a 9-point deficit on you in the final 8.5 minutes, and they win 104-101. And the Warriors are now 19-20 on the year, under 500 for the first time this season. It is hard to really understand how the Warriors got to this point. Although we can like look through individual moments. Like, do you ever, you watch a Warrior game and think the way I do? Because there's a couple of moments in this game where I'm watching and I see the Warriors just kind of toil away offensively. And you wonder, man, they should be doing X, Y, or Z. But tonight, honestly, considering who was on the floor and like what was going on, when Steph is off the court, And this only like became increased by tenfold ever since Jonathan Kuminga went down with the ankle sprain. When Steph is off the floor, I don't know what the best offense is, what the best option is, right? Like, there were so many moments in this game. Steph Curry's off the court. And you have, like, Lindy Waters out there with Moses Moody and Dennis Schroeder and Trayce Jackson-Davis and, I don't know, Andrew Wiggins, right? Like, that's the five. And obviously, you would ideally like to get, like, a Wiggins slashing to the hoop and a lay-in, or someone drives and throws an alley-oop to Trayce Jackson-Davis. But if you're defended well and you can't, you know, break into the paint and you can't drive past your initial defender, like, what's the Warriors' best option? Like, in those situations, who do you go to? What do you do when Steph isn't on the court and you don't have the ability to just say, hey, Kuminga, drive to the hoop and get to the free throw line? Like you don't have right now because Kuminga's hurt and Steph can't play 48 minutes a night. And there's a couple of moments where, and I saw some of this on Twitter tonight, Lindy Waters taking a fadeaway turnaround 15-foot jumper. And I saw some of this on Twitter, like, well, what the hell is he doing? That's the best thing the Warriors can do offensively? What do you want them to do? They got no one on the floor that can create their own shot. No one on the floor that can hit an open shot. Buddy Hield, man, just brick after brick after brick, wide open after wide. He was 3-for-13 tonight, 2-for-10 from downtown. So I'll ask you, you got Hield on the floor with Schroeder and with Waters and with Moody and with Trayce Jackson-Davis or some combination, something like that. You got Gee Santos on there. You got Kyle Anderson out there instead of Moody. Like, what's the best offense for the Warriors there? What is the best? There's no good offense. Yeah, take a fadeaway 15-footer, Lindy. I mean, you got a decent stroke. Okay, fingers crossed it goes in. Same thing at a couple of times with Moses Moody. Moody shooting a contested corner three with a long, lengthy Scotty Barnes in his face. Moody, that's a terrible shot. But you look around and see what else you got on the floor, and you're like, well, I don't know what else to do. What are they supposed to do? They are lost without Stephen Curry on the court. And the reality of this Warriors team, considering that Stephen Curry is about to be 37 years old, and Draymond Green is no spring chicken either. The Warriors need to be better everywhere else than they have ever been before. Ever been before. They have always tried to just survive the non-Steph minutes. Always tried to do that and generally haven't been great at it. Why they've been so good is because during the Steph minutes, they were literally breaking the game of basketball. The reality for the Warriors now is they're not breaking the game of basketball as often when Steph is on the court. And generally, it's just Steph versus the world. And he is still good enough to do that himself every so often. But it doesn't happen as often. So you're not as good as you once were in the Steph minutes. Steph is also playing fewer minutes than ever before. And you're also the worst you've ever been in the non-Steph minutes, just based on the options that you have and who you can turn to. This Warriors season, let me put it this way. Considering what the Warriors have tied up financially to a certain few players, and Steph Curry is, of course, the biggest one here because he's making darn near $60 million a year, it's never going to be easy for the Warriors to put together a great complementary roster around Stephen Curry. Never going to be easy. But the further along we get in this season, this feels like a failure of roster construction. And there's obviously, clearly, so much blame to go around for the players on this team right now. Like, again, Buddy Hield, please, we're begging you, just make a shot. Make an open shot. He had an open three from the right corner down the stretch of this basketball game. If he makes that, the Warriors win this game. I know they lost by three, and that would have technically just tied the score, but things would have changed down the stretch. Buddy, he'll make an open three. That's what you're paid to do. All you are paid to do is hit shots from outside, and you have been absolutely brutal from downtown this year. Absolutely brutal, especially the last, like, 2 months. Make a shot. Like, so there's so much blame to go around on individual players and their performance. But this is a Warriors roster that even when they're fully healthy, that is extremely flawed. You can't play Kuminga and Draymond together because they both play the four. Draymond can't play too much at the five. You can't play Kuminga at the three because he's not a good enough shooter, and you don't have good enough shooting elsewhere. Like, that's problem number one. Problem number two is you don't have enough creators. Steph can't do it, of course, every single second of every single game. You brought Dennis Schroeder in. Great acquisition at the time. Honestly, he has not performed up to expectation at all. That's not necessarily on the front office. Maybe it's more so on the Warriors' style, which isn't always the easiest for players to adjust to. And maybe it's on Steve Kerr to adjust the offense and tailor it a little bit more to the skill set that his current players have. I think there's plenty of blame to go around, but if I were to pick one particular, area to pin a lot of the blame on for this season, it's probably a failure of roster construction, because this roster, it has so much overlap and it leaves them so open in a lot of other spots. You don't have shooters, you don't have ball handlers, you don't have creators. That's like the three most important things on offense. Other than Stephen Curry, you just don't have really anyone else that can do those things. I mean, other than Steph and other than Dennis Schroeder, there's no one else on this roster you trust to put the ball on the ground, to put the ball on the floor and to dribble the ball. Like, no one. Everyone gets their pockets picked if they're driving to the rim other than those two, and even sometimes those two do. And the other thing about the Warriors, well, I'll get to that on the other side, because we're going to take a quick break here in just a second, but we got plenty more time for your calls and your texts. 888-957-9570. If you can't tell, I'm a little bit fed up. The Warriors are under 500 for the first time this year. They are 7-17 in their last 24 games. They blew a 9-point lead to the previously 8-31 Toronto Raptors, who somehow their recent stretch of basketball is worse than the whole season. They're not just 8-31 entering tonight. They were 1-16 in their last 17 entering tonight, and they erased a 9-point deficit in the final 8.5 of this basketball game to beat the Warriors and push the Warriors to under 500 for the first time this year. If that is not rock bottom, I do not know what is. I do not know what is, and it feels like the 650 agreeing on the Comcast business text line. Dubs taking an L to this JV Raptors team is as low as it gets for them. Brutal. I think a lot of fans agree with you, 650. Appreciate you chiming in. As always, that's the text line, 888-957-9570. You can also call that number, and you can join the conversation here on the air on Warriors Wrap-Up. It's Mark Randy with you. I will tell you what else I'm thinking about this Warriors roster. We will also hear from Steve Kerr. I am curious to hear what he has to say about this game, because Steve Kerr has had his fair share of frustrated post-game moments this year. This feels like a new low, so what does Steve Kerr have to say post-game? We will hear from the coach in the next segment as well. As Warriors Wrap-Up continues, the Dubs fall in Toronto 104-101. They're now 19-20, first time this year under 500 after a 12-3 beginning. And they're under 500. It is only the middle of January. Time for a break. When we come back, more Warriors Wrap-Up. It's Mark Randy with you here on 95.7 The Game.
Raptors to the front court. Grady Dick to Pirtle. Pirtle to Barnes. Barnes left alone. Takes a three. No good. Curry back for the rebound again. That's his fourth board. Comes Biddle. Off a series of screens. A logo shot! Curry! Ridiculous.
Now back to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
If you're looking for a positive, we got a mini Curry flurry at one point in that second quarter to help the Warriors build a lead going into half, or to only be down two going into halftime. They built a lead in the third quarter. They led by as many as 9 in the fourth quarter, but they ultimately lose this basketball game 104-101. Welcome into Warriors Wrap-Up here on 95.7 The Game. Welcome back, I should say. It's Mark Randy with you. Dubs again lose in Toronto 104-101. Toronto's just their second win in their last 18 games. They're now 2-16 in their last 18. They're 9-31 on the season. They've been one of the bottom feeders all year long, and especially of late. Now, to be entirely fair to Toronto and to be entirely fair to the Warriors, the team the Warriors lost to tonight and who was available, it's a little different than the team that had gone 8-31 prior to tonight. Now, this is not an excuse, and it's not a reason that tonight's loss is an okay thing for the Warriors. It is absolutely not. It is a disaster. The Warriors are going through a disastrous 2 months, and there's no hiding that. But Scottie Barnes had missed a good chunk of this season. A number of other players had as well. They also were down Emmanuel Quickley tonight, by the way, who's a solid, solid player on this Raptors team. But this is a little bit of a better Raptors team than their 9-31 record now suggests. Still not a good team, no doubt. But Scottie Barnes is a perennial all-star. RJ Barrett, who they acquired from the Raptors, is a solid rotation player. Davion Mitchell is a defensive beast. And by the way, the Raptors' entire plan, and I think this really tells you all you need to know about the Warriors right now. And the way that opponents defend or go about attacking you on a given night, I think is the truest, like, tell of your reality as a basketball team, who you are, and if you have a chance to win, and you know if you are legitimately a threat in a conference, if you can win a postseason series. Like, if you want those answers, just look at how an opposing team game plans for you. And if you've been paying attention, you know how opposing teams are game planning for the Warriors. And Toronto put that like game plan out in full view tonight. It was anybody but Steph. We will not allow Steph to beat us single-handedly. We are so scared of him at 36 years old, and it just speaks to Steph's greatness. We are still so scared of him at 36, nearly 37 years old, that we are going to take one of our defenders and like our best perimeter defender in Davion Mitchell, and we're just going to stick him on Steph and tell him to not even look at the ball or any other player. Don't even look elsewhere. Don't even think about it. Don't help off anybody else. If Wiggins or Schroeder drives, stay on Steph, even if he's at half court, even if he hasn't come across half court yet. Stay on him. Stick to him like you're glued to him. Get inside his jersey. Like, that's the plan for opposing teams. Face guarding Steph, not even letting him touch the basketball. Not even letting him touch it. And it was working early for the Raptors. Steph didn't even get a shot attempt off until like 4 minutes and 10 seconds into this basketball game. And he only got that shot off because of an offensive rebound scramble where he's open top of the key, and I believe it was TJD. Yeah, it was TJD who then off the offensive board kicked it out to him. Like, that doesn't even count. That's not it's an earned shot because it was an offensive rebound by your team, but it's not like that was derived from any schematic advantage the Warriors had. That was just a shot goes up, everyone goes to box out, and then suddenly the guys on the perimeter are kind of left open. You get an offensive board, you kick it out, it's an open three. Steph gets his first shot attempt of the game, and of course, he hit it. But like, that was the Raptors' plan. And where I'm going with this, and I'm going to get back to the phone lines in a second. Jose, I see you. Stand by. I'll get to you in 2 minutes, Jose. If you want to know who you are as a team or the team you root for, who they are, look at how opponents defend you. That's how opponents are defending the Warriors. They are, one, still scared of Steph, but they are, two, not afraid of anybody else. Not afraid of anybody else. They're going to leave countless other players open, and they are fine playing 4-on-4. And by the way, like, you ever play pickup 3-on-3 basketball versus pickup 5-on-5? It's easier to score when there's fewer players on the court. And if you were taking Davion Mitchell and just putting him on Steph Island in the corner, it should be easier on the other four offensive players to score on those four defensive players. Toronto is willing to make that trade because they're not scared of Wiggins beating anybody 1-on-1 consistently enough to make it matter. They're not scared of Schroeder hitting shots. They're not scared of Moody hitting shots. They're not scared of Buddy Hield hitting shots. They're giving Trayce Jackson-Davis anything he wants down low. He can't hit a layup. He can't, not as often as he should. Kevon Looney's solid off the bench, but he's not scaring anybody on the offensive end. The Warriors don't strike fear into any defense anymore unless Steph Curry gets going. So what teams are doing is they're just simply refusing to let Steph Curry get going. Now, to Steph Curry's greatness, he still gets going, even with that. Even with that, I mean, he had 26 points tonight. It took him 17 shots. He was pretty efficient. I mean, relatively efficient. 9 for 17 from the field. 4 for 10 from downtown. 7 rebounds. 7 assists. 26 points. He was great tonight, even with that game plan. That speaks to how good Steph is again. But it's also how hard he has to work for those points. He has never had to work harder to get his 25 points on a given night than he has this year. Never before has he had to work this hard. And you can see it based on how teams defend him. And the reason why is not because Steph has suddenly fallen off a cliff. No, it's not that. He's clearly not as good as he was in 2022. And I don't think anyone in their right mind would deny that. But he's still incredible. He is still incredible. He is a deserving all-star starter, even though his numbers are down almost across the board. He is amazing. He is doing what he's doing when he is not just the focal point, because he's always been the focal point, but he's like the only player on the court. It does not matter who else is on the court. If the Warriors are fully healthy, he's the only player that opponents are truly fearful of. They will let Wiggins get 30. If that's what beats them, so be it. They are not going to let Steph get 35 or 40 and be the reason they lose. That is what teams are telling the Warriors, and the Warriors don't have a counter. They do not have a counter punch. It's just, Steph, save us. Hit this 30-foot fadeaway with two hands in your face. If it goes in, we might win. If it doesn't go in, we don't trust anybody else to score, so we're probably going to lose. That is the Warriors' reality right now. Back out to the phone lines we go. 888-957-9570. Jose is in Modesto. Jose, what's up? You're on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm trying to make sense of this Warriors loss, Jose. How are you feeling?
Good. I feel good right now.
Yeah, why is that?
Because the Warriors lost today.
What do you think about the loss, Jose?
Not too bad. 101 to 104.
Are you a Warrior fan, Jose?
Yes, I am.
You don't feel bad about the loss, though? I mean, this was a Toronto team that only had 8 losses entering tonight, or 8 wins entering tonight.
Not too bad. I'm okay for that.
All right, Jose. Well, thanks for calling. I think you're probably the only Warrior fan out there that is not concerned at all by the Warriors at the moment. Appreciate the call, but frankly, I'm not so sure what you're watching, because this is a Warrior team that is leaking big time. They are in danger of going under. 104 to 101, they lose to the Raptors tonight. The Raptors had lost 16 of their last 17 games. They just picked up only their 9th win of the season, and they did it by coming from behind by 9. And oftentimes, there are a number of games in the NBA on any given year where You lose to a worse team, but you didn't necessarily play worse than your opponent, or, you know, your opponents caught fire and they were hitting crazy three after crazy three, even though it was good defense, and at a certain point you just tip your cap. Like, that happens sometimes. You just run into bad luck on a given night, and, you know, whatever happened. Like, don't get it twisted. This was not one of those nights. The Raptors were the better basketball team than the Warriors tonight. And the Raptors, again, were an 8-win team coming into this game. This was not a, oh, Raptors got lucky and stole one from the Warriors. They earned that win. They took it from the Warriors. And the Warriors could do very little about it. This was a Raptors team, by the way, with still a really strong home court. 8-31 entering the night. And what, Nova Scotia Bank Arena or whatever it is in Toronto? I mean, it felt like they were a 500 team or better. Like, the fans in Toronto have always been awesome, and they're showing out this year for an 8-31 team, now a 9-31 team. They were simply better than the Warriors tonight. They deserve the win. The Warriors absolutely deserve the loss. Let's go to Phil in San Francisco, who's been on hold here for a couple of minutes. Phil, what's up? You're on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, it's just getting harder and harder to watch these games, especially, you know, I realize, you know, they got some injuries now, but you know, you're playing, you know, given a lot of minutes. I don't know how many minutes Buddy Hield got tonight, but that guy has been playing like a G League player the last month and a half to 2 months almost. He's, in my book, pretty worthless to this team. I mean, I hate to sound so harsh, but he can't play defense. He's not, you know, he can't play good consistent D. He turns the ball over too much. He puts up ill-advised three-point shots. He did that a few times tonight. If that guy, he shot 23% from the field tonight. If he had shot 26 or made one more shot and shot 27% or something, we would have won the game. This is becoming all too common with him. And then every five games, he manages to shoot like over 40%. And it's really bad. I don't know what his season percentage is now, but just get rid of the guy. You just admit that you made a mistake and move on.
Yeah. Yeah, Phil, appreciate the call. I mean, you're spot on about Buddy Hield. So first of all, his season numbers, he's shooting 42% from the field, 38% from downtown, which is absolutely crazy that he's still shooting 38% from downtown. Because if you were to take, like, if you were to ask, would you take 38% from Buddy Hield over the course of a whole season? Like, if you were to ask that at the beginning of the year, you probably would have said yes. Like, 38%, that's pretty good. Like, if you're near 40, not bad at all. In fact, his career numbers from deep, and he's one of the best three-point shooters in NBA history. Like, he's no doubt one of them. 39.9% from deep, so a shade under 40%. He is below his career average, but by less than 2 percentage points. It is, again, subpar for his standard shooting year, but it's not crazy. That just goes to show, though, how good he was to begin the year, because in his last 19 games, beginning with that rough loss in Denver in early December, Buddy Hield is shooting just 37% from the field. 37% from the field and 31% from downtown. That's over the course of 19 games. That's a pretty decent sample size. 37% from the field and 31% from downtown. And the thing with a player like Buddy Hield is he doesn't do enough things elsewhere to be effective and be a positive basketball player when the shot is not falling. And the shot has not been falling of late. So what is he adding to the team? And if you ask Steve Kerr, the answer he would probably say is, well, you know, he runs the floor and he gets out and he hustles 24/7 and he gains the Warriors a couple of possessions here and there with that hustle. It's like, okay, great. Okay, great. But when you were signed to be a shooter, and this is a Warriors team that is desperately lacking shooting, it is hard to look past his shooting struggles and think of his contributions as anything but negative. Like, sure, maybe he gains you a possession here or there, or he gets a layup in transition because he hustled the floor once a game. That's great. That was a positive play. But almost every other play that he's making at this stage is a negative one. And it sucks. I mean, the team clearly very much enjoys Buddy Hield's presence. And maybe that's a positive for him, is that he has been good in the locker room, but he's been bad on the basketball floor for more than a month now. 31% from deep for a guy that was brought in to just hit threes and to take some pressure off of Steph. He can't shoot right now. No one else can shoot right now. And it just gets more and more and more difficult for Steph Curry with every passing game. 888-957-9570. We still got to hear from Steve Kerr. That's coming up in just a little bit here on Warriors Wrap-Up. But up next is Ted in Livermore. What's up, Ted? You're on Warriors Wrap-Up with Mark Randy. How you doing, Ted?
I'm good, Mark. But I think you kind of hit on something that kind of in conjunction with what I was thinking about the Warriors' downfall this year. And that is, I love Steve Kerr. He's a great human being, but the only time he's had success is when we have our top three or four guys firing on all cylinders, and that's when they win championships. I mean, those guys, when they're firing on all cylinders, made Luke Walton look like an amazing coach, right? So, you know, what he did after a couple of games in a row where they lost this season after they had that great start was, and I've heard him do this three times in post-game press conferences. I don't watch every game, so I think if I've heard it three times, I'm sure he said it a few more times. I'm sure he's saying in the locker room. He's saying nobody should be taking shots after one or two passes or three passes. We are a team with Steph Curry, and we need to pass the ball around until he pops open. Okay? And so, like you said, all Toronto had to do was focus on Steph Curry, and everybody else is too petrified to shoot a shot because they don't want Kerr in their ears after the game saying, pass more and get the ball to Steph Curry. So that's why Buddy Hield is shooting whatever it is now that's brought him down to 38%. Every time he pulls up to shoot, he's thinking in his head, like every other Warrior, should I have made one more pass to find Steph Curry? Because that's what my coach wants me to do. And that's what my coach is telegraphing to every other coach in the league. Focus on Steph Curry, and you'll beat us every single time. It's kind of like when he was in the 2020 season. Like, we're not going to chase wins. We don't need to chase wins. We're the Warriors. And they end up with the ninth seed or something like that. Or when he meticulously sat Draymond and Steph for 6 minutes or at the eight-minute mark every freaking quarter, so that every team knew exactly when their stars were going to play and when they weren't going to play, and they could game plan around that. He telegraphs what every coach needs to do to beat the Warriors, and I think I heard him say just two games ago. So if that's going to be his message, why not? If you're an opposing team, just deny Steph the ball, double team him, make everybody else shoot the ball because they're all nervous about shooting the ball and they're not going to hit their shots.
Yeah. Ted, I think it's a really, really good point. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that there are a lot of Warriors out there who are pressing. Buddy Hield is certainly one of them. And maybe some of it is, is this the right shot? Should I be taking this shot? Should I be looking for Steph? What am I supposed to be doing here? And maybe some of it is based on the conversations that Steve Kerr has had with them, both in public and, behind closed doors. Maybe that is part of it. I also think it's, in general, the offensive scheme and the plan that they use offensively that has an impact here. And we can talk a little bit more about that as well. But, I mean, Ted, you're bringing up Steve Kerr and some of his post-game press conference comments. We haven't yet heard from him post-game tonight. So let's do that first, and then I'll respond a little bit more to what you're talking about, Ted, because I think you bring up a really good point. I think there is a big challenge in what Steve Kerr is asking this roster to do, because what has worked for the Warriors in the past, one, has worked so well, but it's worked with a specific kind of player, and I'm not so sure the Warriors have those kinds of players on their roster anymore. So maybe it's, time to make a legitimate change to the game plan offensively. I think that there is some truth to that. We'll get to that and a little bit more in a second, but first, let's hear from Steve Kerr. He addressed the media post-game in Toronto after the Warriors fell 104-101 to the Raptors. Here is Steve Kerr's post-game press conference on 95.7 The Game.
Didn't get good looks, didn't execute very well, weren't disciplined enough, and that's my fault. I'm the coach of the team. I have to find a way to help this team. And I'm not doing a good job of that. We're, down the stretch, we're not executing. And but that's happening throughout the game at both ends. Missed rotations, missed coverages on defense, and then poor possessions offensively. It's on me.
You had some frustrating nights recently.
This is as frustrating a night as we've had all season for me. This game was right there for us to win. And we let him get right back in it. Again, it's lack of discipline in our coverages defensively, in our offensive execution, and I'm the coach, so it's my fault.
What were you looking for on the last second play call? What was supposed to happen?
Well, we had two options, Steph and Buddy, and obviously they know we need a three, so they did a good job of covering up both Steph and Buddy, and we couldn't really get much of a look.
Coach. Yes, Steve Kerr is on ball and off the ball. He's facing a lot of pressure when he's being defended right now. You as a coach, what are you trying to take pressure off of him?
Well, we have a lot of off-ball stuff that we run, and when he's being guarded like that, we like having him set screens, and so we should be able to free other people up. And then that should loosen the defense up, and that's where he can start moving after, you know, after the screen, after the play.
This is a tough one to ask right now this time, but I'm just wondering if you remember, this is the 30th year of the Raptors, and if you have any memories.
If I what?
If you remember at all, 30 years ago, one of the 10 losses by the Bulls was in Toronto. Just remember, if you have any memories of that at all. That's the one MJ rimmed out the shot at the end.
30 years ago.
Always a tough one.
Can you maybe call me next week? Now's a tough time to answer that question, as you said. I'm happy to. You talk to Raymond, and I'm happy to answer that.
With Buddy, I mean, how much of this is about him just getting hot at some point? Or, I don't know. What do you see him offensively?
Yeah, he's had some good looks, and he's a great, great shooter. We know that. And, I think he's pressing a little bit. I think all our guys are pressing because they know our margin for error is slim. And so he's just pressing, but I trust him. I mean, I put him in the last play because I believe that he's always going to make the next shot. And he gives us spacing, even when he's not making shots. He gives us spacing. People respect him. They guard him, and he opens up the floor. So I'm going to keep playing him. I'm going to keep trusting him.
That's Steve Kerr postgame in Toronto tonight after the Warriors fell to the Raptors 104-101. It wasn't like the extremely vocal and loud Steve Kerr and the Kerr that was pounding on tables after the Denver loss when he was clearly very frustrated by Brandon Pajemski, and it wasn't the Steve Kerr after the win in Minnesota where Steph Curry willed them to the win down the stretch that I think our last caller, Ted in Livermore, was bringing up, right where his postgame comments was, you know, we got 16 seconds on the shot clock. We should not be taking a fadeaway mid-range jumper because we can get that shot at any point in time. Let's try to work the ball over to Steph and figure it out from there. And if we can't get the ball to Steph or there's no good look, okay, then when the shot clock's running down, then he can take that fadeaway jumper. I think that's what one of the comments that Ted was pointing to. This wasn't like as clearly frustrated a Steve Kerr as some of those other moments, but this feels like a Steve Kerr that is out of answers, is out of moves, is at a loss for words, and doesn't know what to do going forward. I mean, he took the blame himself, and he deserves a share of this blame. There's no doubt about it. He's not the only guilty party, and I wouldn't say that he's, you know, like guilty party number one. His slice of the pie is not the largest. In my opinion, I think some of you out there might disagree, and that's entirely fine. You can let me know and tell me why I'm wrong. 888-957-9570. I think there's plenty of room for Steve Kerr to improve and plenty of room for him to adjust his plan of attack to the strengths of this roster. And the strengths of this roster are not one that feature, you know, the ball movement and the read and react offense that has won the Warriors 4 championships. Yes, it still features the two main cogs in Steph and Draymond, but what all those other players that maybe weren't ever superstars, although of course KD was, but even in the pre and post KD years when you had Klay Thompson, like this was a roster that was full of smart basketball players. You had Sean Livingston, right? You had Otto Porter. You had Nemanja Bjelica. You had, even going back to the early days, similar to Sean Livingston, you had Leandro Barbosa. You had Andrew Bogut. You had Zaza Pachulia. Like, these are smart basketball players that are making the right basketball decision again and again and again. And this Warriors system requires its players to, in a split second, they talk about the 0.5 decision. You get the ball, and before you can even think, you have the decision, whether it is to shoot, whether it's to put the ball on the floor and drive, whether it's to pass, whether it's to call for a screen, whether it's to, whatever the case is, whatever the best decision is in that moment, reading the defense in real time, whatever it is, whatever that best decision is, those Warriors players often, way more often than not, would simply make the right decision. But this Warriors roster doesn't make those right decisions nearly as often. And obviously there's plenty of blame to go on the individual players for that. Like, hey, Kuminga, hey, Wiggins, hey, Moody, hey, so-and-so, it's on you to Hield. Hield's a big part of that conversation. There's 16 seconds on the shot clock. You do not need to be taking a deep two or a contested three, okay? You do not need to be doing that. If it's open, by all means, take it. If you're in rhythm, by all means, take it. You got a hand right in your face and only 8 seconds have come off the shot clock? No, don't take that shot. So it's on individuals to realize that, okay? Or to at least improve at that as the season has gone on. You haven't seen that improvement. It's also on the roster for not constructing, or pardon me, the front office for not constructing a roster that shares strengths with what works in Steve Kerr's system, right? Like, if you knew that this is the system that Steve Kerr wanted to run, then you should be targeting players that can fit in that system. And a lot of the Warriors' acquisitions haven't been able to fit in that system. Now, again, a lot of it is the Warriors are kind of handcuffed financially. And maybe you feel like some blame goes to the ownership group for being so adamant at getting out of the first apron, getting out of the tax. And that's, I hear you, but the new CBA makes it so incredibly difficult for teams to be repeat offenders and to have any sort of success in the future. Like, it is extremely difficult. So I'll hear you on that side, but I'll push back a little bit. But then again, it's also on Steve Kerr. You're dealt the hand that you were dealt, right? Like, there's not a lot you can do with it. And once you realize it might not quite fit exactly the way you want to attack, it's on you to adjust. And we have not seen that adjustment yet. I thought we saw it for a split second just before Kuminga got injured. Because for a while, the question was, can Kuminga coexist with Steph? Those two play such different styles. Is there an ability for the Warriors to maximize Kuminga's potential while Steph is on the court? And they were doing that for like a two-game stretch, and then Kuminga got hurt, which is really unfortunate timing. Really unfortunate timing. But we haven't seen that adjustment elsewhere. And maybe just the players that are on the roster just simply are not good enough to work in any sort of meaningful way in any kind of system for the Warriors. And a big part of this also is you're down arguably your second-best offensive player in Jonathan Kuminga, and tonight you're also down Draymond Green. Like, it was never going to be incredibly easy, but there's no doubt this still should have been a game that you won. And you lost this game 104-101. 888-957-9570. To go back to what Ted in Livermore was talking about before we heard from Coach Kerr, right? Ted was talking about some criticism for Steve Kerr and maybe the way that he's been asking his players to play has resulted in them pressing or maybe getting into their own head, and that's resulting in a lot of missed shots. I think the example that Ted brought up was Buddy Hield specifically. Let's listen again to what Steve Kerr had to say about Buddy Hield postgame tonight. Here's Coach Kerr on Buddy Hield.
He's had some good looks, and he's a great, great shooter. We know that. You know, I think he's pressing a little bit. I think all our guys are pressing because they know our margin for error is slim. So he's pressing, but I trust him. I mean, I put him in the last play because I believe that he's always going to make the next shot. And he gives us spacing. Even when he's not making shots, he gives us spacing. People respect him. They guard him, and he opens up the floor. So I'm going to keep playing him. I'm going to keep trusting him.
Now, one thought I've had for a while now in the middle of this Buddy Hield incredible slump is, I mean, maybe the right thing for him is giving him some time off and bench him for a little bit. Let him get his mind right. I know that might not be like the most logical thing, but just take some time off, buddy. Like, something's clearly up with you right now, and we desperately need you. But the reality is, if you're the Warriors, as Steve Kerr said, we have a very small margin for error now. They're 19-20. And if we just were to play along and say that Steve Kerr was benching Buddy Hield and did not play him for a whole game or for two whole games or three whole games or whatever it was, I mean, who are you turning to? Like, who are you playing? And I know I think there'll be a lot of Warrior fans who say, Moses Moody, right? Moses Moody deserves more playing time. And, you know, he's had some nice moments, but, I mean, tonight he did not do a single thing to help this basketball team. 0 for 6 from the field, 0 for 3 from downtown. A couple of wild drives and forced layups that barely even ticked iron or didn't at all. He took a contested corner three early in the shot clock. I had no clue what got into him there. Are you going to go to Lindy Waters? You want to see more Lindy Waters minutes over Buddy Hield? I don't necessarily blame you if you do, but it's also Lindy freaking Waters, if we're being honest. Nothing against Lindy. His story is incredible, but we can't fool ourselves and pretend that he's a quality piece on a championship-contending team. Like, no, the Warriors were at their best early in the year, and Lindy Waters was only playing when there were some injuries. If Lindy Waters is on a legitimate contender, he's not getting many minutes on a given night. And the Warriors are injured right now. That's why he's playing a decent amount, and I get that. But if we're trying to think about, you know, the other options and why Steve Kerr maybe wouldn't go to Buddy Hield down the stretch at the end of the basketball game, then who else are you going to turn to? Who else are you going to? Now, I mean, the reality of this Warriors situation, and I just saw the text come in on the text line, 888-957-9570. The 716 makes a really good point, and I've been mentioning it offhand all night. The Warriors are hurt right now. They're missing Jonathan Kuminga, and they're also missing Gary Payton II and Brandon Pajemski. The 716 says, let's talk about how JK and Pods are needed for this team to win. I hear you 100% on Jonathan Kuminga, and I think Pajemski, in a world where the Warriors have a roster that is a little more complementary around everybody else, like when you've got quality pieces around, Pajemski's value, I think, really skyrockets. But if he's asked to create and be like the cog in an offense, the reason why a grouping works, it's going to be an issue. But when he's surrounded by good players, he's a very positive force. But the Warriors roster right now isn't good enough, I think, elsewhere to really maximize what Pajemski does. In my mind, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe he takes a major leap, and he makes me regret saying this, in my mind, you know, he's just a quality piece on a roster that is solid elsewhere. And he can be a piece of a good group, but he is not the piece that makes a group work. I think Kuminga can be the piece that makes a group work. And he was playing incredible basketball before he got hurt. The reality is this Warrior team is not at full strength, but also the reality is when they were at full strength, they weren't playing particularly well either. They were playing a little bit better, specifically when Kuminga was hitting his shots down the stretch, but they haven't been playing as well of late, and just before Kuminga got hurt. And they had a decent chunk when Kuminga and Curry and Draymond and everyone was healthy, and they were still losing a bunch of basketball games. They went 12-3, and then they followed it up and went 3-12. Since they went 12-3 and then 3-12 to get to 15-15, they are now 4-5. So if you add those up, they're now 7-17 in their last 24 games, and a lot of those games have been when the Warriors have been, you know, decently healthy. Decently healthy, not entirely healthy, but decently healthy. So injuries are certainly a factor if we're talking about tonight, if we're talking about Friday night in Indiana, if we're talking about pick and choose your game here and there, the Oklahoma City loss at home when Steph didn't play, the Clippers loss on the road when Steph and Draymond didn't play, like, yeah, of course. And every team has those games. But for the most part, I would feel very, very worried and troubled if we were to blame all the Warriors' issues on their health, because they have issues that go well past the health of the team. It's kind of how I feel about the 49ers this year. Did injuries hurt them? Yes, no doubt. Was injuries the number one reason why they had a 6-11 season? No. There were roster construction issues. There were players underperforming. And there was, you know, a head coach who did not have his best year and might have had his worst year. And I think a lot of those ideas, those points, fit with what this Warriors season is so far, now through 39 games. You are two games away from being halfway through, and the Warriors are under 500. The reality is this is, you know, an average basketball team. That is what the Warriors are at 19 and 20. 888-957-9570 if you want to get your final thoughts in here on Warriors wrap-up. We do got to get to crashing the boards in a second, but one thing I did want to get to before I got on out of here was one of the issues for the Warriors, and this is something else that teams are picking up on and have been picking up on for a while, and this is kind of correlated to the way teams are defending the Warriors, which is purely just face guarding Steph, not even letting him get the ball, or at least making it very difficult for him to get the ball, which makes it more difficult for him to score. He has to work harder for every shot attempt and every bucket that he's getting. What they're also doing is they are playing the Warriors to pass on every single drive. Like, if you notice, the Warriors drive, and they very rarely look to drive and finish. It is Schroeder and Steph who do it most often. Schroeder is, like, before he got traded to the Warriors, was near the top of the league in number of drives to the rim. And he's been a decent finisher. It hasn't really worked so far for Schroeder on the Warriors lately. But every other time the Warriors are driving, especially without Kuminga available right now, they're looking to drive and to create a shot elsewhere. They're driving and kicking. Driving and kicking, driving and kicking. And what opponents are doing, and part of the reason why the Warriors are doing that is because they're so used to it. And in the past, they've had shooters everywhere. You had Kevin Durant, and you had Klay, and you had Steph Curry, right? Like, you got shooters. Drive and kick. You create an open shot. Suck the defense in, get an open shot, make a three, and that's how the Warriors would put up 50-point quarters. The Warriors don't have those shooters anymore, but they also are struggling at the rim. Yet the Warriors are still trying, again, to kick it out. They can't shoot from outside, but they're still kicking it out because they can't finish at the rim. They don't have finishers at the rim, and they don't drive that often. But when they do drive, opponents are playing them to pass. They're not that worried about the Warriors scoring on a drive. They're playing the passing lanes. And when the Warriors drive, oftentimes you see the players get caught up in the air. It happens with Kuminga. It happens with Moody. It has happened with Schroeder. It even happens with Steph. You get caught up in the air. You try to look for a passing lane. There's nobody there because the defense knows you're going to drive and kick. And you drive and kick. Defense knows it's coming. It's a turnover. And the ball goes the other way. And that has happened often for the Warriors too. Their inability to finish at the rim and sometimes their inability to even try. I think that goes back to Draymond Green. Draymond Green, how many times do you rip your hair out because he'll drive, he'll have an opening towards the lane, and he'll pass up, you know, I don't want to say easy, but like a shot that he should be able to make and tries to pass it out to a covered Buddy Hield in the corner or maybe gets knocked away. Like that is an issue for the Warriors as well. 888-957-9570. Let's get to our Crashing the Boards segment, which, as always, is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. Thank you to Chilton, as always. Crashing the Boards tonight. How about a couple of Warriors off the bench in this basketball game? Stephen Curry led all starters with 7 rebounds in this game, but 9 rebounds for both Kevon Looney and Lindy Waters III. I've definitely given this award, the Crashing the Boards honor, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, to Kevon Looney in the past. So I'm going to give it to Lindy Waters III tonight. He deserved it with those 9 rebounds. How about that for Lindy Waters? 9 rebounds in this game tonight. He gets the honor of Crashing the Boards tonight, which again is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. Well done to Lindy Waters off the bench. He had a couple of big threes down the stretch as well that built the Warriors' lead to 9, but they ultimately lose it in the fourth quarter, and they fall 104-101. Okay, last order of business before I get on out of here. We got one more call to sneak in. Skills in Vallejo is on hold, and he joins us now to take us home on Warriors. Wrap up, Skills, what's up? How you doing? Warriors lose tonight. What's your reaction, Skills?
Hey, Glenn, thanks for having me on. I'll try to be quicker. I know you're about to wrap up. Yeah, you know, you get the 2019 finals rematch, and Golden State just doesn't show up. Well, they show up for most of the game, and then at the end, nothing. And all the missed shots at the end of the game, how Hield ended up with the ball in his hands for that last shot, I knew right then and there that we weren't going to score. I knew we weren't going to tie the game. And I don't want to come down his road. A lot of people have come down his road. I don't need to be the latest, but it just reminds me, I can't remember the last time a player in season for Golden State
went from such a plus on the court to such a minus in one season. I mean, I think about Andres Bjelica, but that was over the course of a couple of years. And just, you know, Steph Curry, Tim Roy was mentioning many times tonight that Steph Curry had moved up to 28th on the all-time scoring list. Well, about to move into 8th place, or is he already in 8th place, but about to reach 30,000 points in his career is one Kevin Durant. And I think about if we had just someone, if we still had him or even someone like him, not even Kevin Martin would be an asset at this point, just somebody who can put the ball in the bucket, somebody who can hit an open shot. And there's so many of these guys in the league, especially with defense, what it is now, and the rules favoring the offenses. It's just, it's incredible that they're struggling this bad after 12-3, Mark. 12-3. We were 12-3
yep.
A couple of months ago. What the heck? And I know you got to get out of here, so I'll stop there. Have a good night.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Skills. I think you're on to a lot of good stuff there. Yeah, 12-3, 7-17 since. I chuckled at your Kevin Martin. Yeah, Kevin Martin, I remember him on the Kings, on the Rockets, on the Timberwolves. I think he was a part of the deal that sent James Harden to the Rockets from OKC? Did he go to OKC in that deal? Kevin Martin, one of the weirdest shooting strokes, but was pretty effective from downtown. Skills, I think the reality is, I mean, the Warriors desperately need more help. You can say the same thing about Kevin Durant. The Suns are in as big of a problem and as big of a hole as the Warriors are. You look at the NBA standings right now, the Suns are 19-19. The Warriors are 19-20. The Suns have Kevin Durant, they have Devin Booker, they have Bradley Beal. I think if you were to look in a vacuum, they are out-talenting the Warriors, right? And they've had some injuries. It hasn't been pretty and perfect for them either. But they're going through a lot of the same things the Warriors are. I'm not speaking about that as if the Suns are going to blow things up, and maybe that means Kevin Durant is available. And if it was, I mean, that would be amazing, and Kevin Durant would solve like every issue the Warriors have right now. There's no doubt. But that's a very, very, very difficult thing to pull off because, first of all, new owner Matt Ishbia would have to be willing to trade away his prized asset, and that seems unlikely at this point given his personality as an owner, and I can't really blame him. But like it's the reality of the NBA these days. Like, you need help. Kevin Durant has Devin Booker and Bradley Beal and others, and he needs more help. Steph Curry has Draymond Green, and when Kuminga comes back, Jonathan Kuminga. He desperately needs more help. Absolutely needs more help. And if tonight was not an example of that, you're not going to find... if you don't think tonight's an example, then you're not going to think anything's an example. 104-101, the Warriors lost when Steph scored 26 points on 17 shots. I mean, he was pretty efficient, pretty effective, and the Raptors were so dead set on not only not letting him score, but not letting him touch the ball, period. His first shot didn't come until well past 4 minutes into the game, and it was off an offensive rebound kickout where the defense is scrambled. If there was not an offensive rebound kickout, who knows when Steph would have attempted his first shot. Not through any fault of his own, but because he was being hounded by Davion Mitchell, and there is nobody on the Warriors' offense that puts enough fear elsewhere that forces opponents like the Raptors tonight to move off of their ball denial of Steph strategy. Like, if you had somebody else starting to go off and take advantage of a 4-on-4 where you got more space and room to maneuver... Like, if you had KD, oh, man, he would go to work in that situation. Warriors don't have that. So teams aren't going to go away from that. And Steph Curry, despite all of that, despite all of the odds stacked against him, he still scored 26 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. He had himself a hell of a basketball game. I'm not sure there's anybody in the NBA that has to work harder for his than Steph does. It's been that way for a long time. It has, in my opinion. It has never been more true than this year. Steph is working so hard, and this is the time of his career where if everything was going well and going to plan, Steph would be able to, you know, not take a backseat, but not have to work nearly as hard as he is this year. And it has not been the case. He has to work harder than ever while he's playing fewer minutes, because he's got knee tendonitis in both of his knees, and the Warriors are also worse when he's off the court. It's a match made in hell for the Warriors this year. It really is. Steph has to work harder. He can't do it as often as he used to. And the Warriors are worse when Steph's off the court. It's really difficult to see this Warriors roster being able to put it together even when Kuminga gets back for the Warriors. All right, that'll do it for Warriors wrap-up tonight. The Warriors are next in action coming up on Wednesday to close out this road trip. We were talking about how the homestand, the six-game homestand, should have been a goal of 4-2. The Warriors go 3-3 in that. This road trip should be 2-2. You took care of business in Detroit. The loss in Indiana, kind of a scheduled loss, a back-to-back, no Steph, no Dre, no Wiggs, no Kuminga. You know the story. Tonight should have been a win, and you could have, you know, dealt with the loss in Minnesota on Wednesday. Now you go to Minnesota, not a must win, but it's one that you really, really, really would like to have to avoid a 1-3 trip, to avoid your fifth loss in six games, and to avoid falling two games below 500. If you could get back to 500 with a win on Wednesday, that would be a big boost for the Warriors. They just got to tread water as best as they can until something changes, whether it's a trade, whether it's you get healthier, whatever it is, you got to tread water. And the Warriors, they're in danger of drowning right now. They're 19-20 now on the year. That game on Wednesday in Minnesota, tip-off has been moved from 5 to 6:30. Tip-off again now at 6:30, which means pregame coverage here on 95.7. The game begins at 5:30. It will be Willard and Dibbs on Warriors Live beginning at 5:30 on Wednesday. Warriors in the Twin Cities against the Timberwolves. All right, for Cam Williams, for Steven Rizzotto, my name is Mark Ranney signing off. Thanks for tuning in. The Warriors fall again 104-101. We'll talk next time here on 95.7 The Game.